ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय The read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, text 1 to 3. So I don't know. Every time you quote, recite slokas?
Yeah,
I understand, but you're always reciting the verses?
Yeah.
Sloka. Okay. Sri Bhagavana Vacha. Abhayam sattva samshudhir Jnana yoga vyavastiti Danam dhammascha yagyascha Svatyaya stappa archavam Ahimsa satyam akrodas Yaga shantir apaisunam Daya pute shvalo luptavam Mardavam rira chapalam Te chakshama triti shaucham Adroho nati manita Vavanti sampadam daivim Abhichatasya Bharata. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly man endowed with divine nature. So, and Jnana Yoga, huh? So, what I have to find. Jnana Yoga Vivastiti. Here. Jnana Yoga. The next item is Jnana Yoga Vivastiti. You find? You got it? Jnana Yoga Vyavastiti. One, two, three, four, five. The fifth paragraph. Huh?
Yeah, the next item is charity.
Yes. I have two. Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga you already had? No. Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga.
Yeah.
And you didn't have?
Yeah.
Not. Yes or no? Okay. I heard my topic will be Jnana Yoga and Dana, charity.
Yeah.
These two. The next item is Jnana Yoga Vyastiti. Being engaged in the cultivation of knowledge, sannyasi life is meant for distributing knowledge to the householders and others who have forgotten the real life of spiritual advancement. A sannyasi is supposed to beg from door to door for his livelihood, but this does not mean that he is a beggar. Humility is also one of the qualifications of a transcendentally situated person. And out of sheer humility, the sannyasi goes from door to door, not exactly for the purpose of begging, but to see the householders and awaken them to Krishna consciousness. This is the duty of a sannyasi. If he is actually advanced and so ordered by his spiritual master, he should preach Krishna consciousness with logic and understanding. And if one is not so advanced, he should not accept the renounced order of life. But even if one has accepted the renounced order of life without sufficient knowledge, he should engage himself fully in hearing from a bona fide spiritual master to cultivate knowledge. A sannyasi, or one in the renounced order of life, must be situated in fearlessness, sattva, samshuddhi, purity. I mean, ahimsa, fearlessness, sattva, samshuddhi, purity, and jnana yoga, knowledge. The next item is charity. Charity is meant for the householders. Householders should earn a livelihood by an honorable means and spend 50% of their income to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. Thus, a householder should give in charity to institutional societies that are engaged in that way. Charity should be given to the right receiver. There are different kinds of charity, as will be explained later on. Charity in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Charity in the mode of goodness is recommended by the scriptures, but charity in the modes of passion and ignorance is not recommended, because it is simply a waste of money. Charity should be given only to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. That is charity in the mode of goodness. Om Agyati Maranyasi Aganachana Salakayam Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha. So in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 16 now we start, 15 finish. In the 15th chapter, Krishna began to describe the banyan tree with its branches and secondary branches. And these branches are going up and down like a banyan tree. These branches are going ups and downs. And it describes it. It's a symbolical, picture given how to understand the material existence, that everything is actually a perverted reflection from the spiritual world. But the more we go down to the material universe through these different branches of the banyan tree, the more we fall in the modes of passion and ignorance. The demigods, or the godly life, pious life, it's in the mode of goodness. The sages, rishis, the devas, in the higher realm of the universe, svarga and higher, up to brahmaloka, they all live in the mode of goodness. And the people in the Martya Loka or middle plant resistant, Mibilong, Buloka, we are mostly passionate and a mixture of passion and ignorance, sometimes a little goodness. And then below the earth, below the Buloka is Patala, and the seven places of where the empires live, and this is dominated by the mode of ignorance. And because we are in the Earth planet, we are in the marginal or middle planetary system, we always have the chance to lift to elevate ourselves in this banyan tree to the higher worlds, or even go out of this material universe with the 8 layers and go to Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world, to join there and become an associate of the Lord by the Lord's mercy. Or one can also go down to the lower regions. There are certain philosophers or preachers who establish a certain philosophy. They say, actually, human form of life is the crown of the creation. It's the top of the creation. And it only can go naturally from life after life. We can only become better and better. We will never go down. We never can fall down. Because this is already the high point. No, we can only improve ourselves to more subtle entities, become angels, or devas, or rishis, or whatever, go up to Brahmaloka. But this is not the version of the scriptures, but that because they say we can also go down again to the lower species of life. Not only humans, but and also, I would say, with polluted consciousness, but also insects and plants and animals like that. Anyway, the human form of life bears it's a responsibility. It gives us a wonderful opportunity to choose become attracted to godly lifestyle or to demoniac lifestyle. According to Sangha, according to association, we develop quality. Sangha sanchayate kama krodha bachayate. Asat sangha yaga evaishnava chara stri sangha krishna bhakta asadu ara. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he recommended all his followers to associate with sadhu sangha, with the devotees, and avoid the association of non-devotees who have no good qualities. Like stri, that means a polluted woman, who are unchaste, who are like prostitutes, or also men who are like them, who are women hunters. This is even considered even worse. Stri Sangha Krishna Abhakta, those were not devotees of Krishna, and Asadhu. Asadhu is opposite of Sadhu. Sadhu means saintly personality with sat quality of goodness, and Asadhu is somebody who has very bad qualities. In Kali Yuga, we practically can remember more our bad qualities than good qualities. Therefore, sometimes we are surprised that there are so many wonderful qualities. There are 26 Krishna explains here, and there are even more in the scriptures. Also, Prahlad Maharaj in the 5th canto, 18th chapter, text around 20, he gives a list of 26, he gives also a description of saintly qualities. And Prabhupada in that purport, he mentions the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi Lila, where Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes about one Vaishnava who was the head priest of the Govindaji temple at that time. And that devotee, he had all very wonderful qualities. All the 26 qualities of the Vaishnavas, what the Vaishnavas possess, were manifested in the personality of that devotee. His name was Haridas Pandit. It's not Haridas Thakur. There are different Haridases to Lord Chaitanya's time. Haridas Thakur, Haridas Pandit, Haridas Chota Haridas, the younger. So there are different kinds of Haridases. But there was one head priest of the Govindaji Mandir here in Vrindavan. He was a resident of here in Vrindavan. He was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, who was the head priest of Govinda. And he is actually the person who approached Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and requested him to write about Lord Chaitanya's biography, his Chaitanya Charitamrita. Until that time, the Chaitanya Bhagavat was known, Chaitanya Mangala, that means that book written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. But the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, they were very eager to hear about Krishna's later pastimes in Jagannath Puri. Lord Chaitanya's later pastimes in Jagannath Puri, his childhood pastimes and middle pastimes, they were very elaborately described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. But the later pastime, Antyalila, it was not so much elaborately described, only hinted points. But for the Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this was very important because they wanted to hear about Lord Chaitanya's inner highest mood of ecstasy, of revelation, of experience, of love to Krishna in the mood of the gopis of Radharani here in Vrindavan. So that they wanted to hear. So this Haridas Pandit, he approached Krishnadas Kaviraj. And it is described as Haridas, he was full of all good qualities. And it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam in I already mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj, this Yasya, from 18th chapter, 5th canto, text 12, not 20, 12. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahat guna manorate nasati davato bahi. All the demigods and their exalted qualities such as religion, knowledge and renunciation become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, Krishna. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy, Maya. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? So here Prahlad Maharaj in this verse, in his prayers to Lord Nisingadev, he makes it very clear, it is the mentality and association of a certain mentality what creates or manifests the good qualities in ourselves. Of course, the jiva, by its nature, because we are eternal part and parcel of Krishna, Mama Vamsa Jiva Loke, Prabhupada is quoting here in the purport, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Mana Sastan Indriyani Prakritistani Karshati. So because the jiva is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna, of the Supreme Lord, So as a part and parcel, it's like a drop, is an has a same quality or chemical substance of salt and etc. of the sea, of ocean. But the drop can never be the ocean himself. There's always a distinction, the ocean and the drop of the ocean. Qualitatively the same, but quantitatively big. So that means, like the ocean drop, has also some of the quality in minute quantity, but of the ocean, of the whole ocean, but never in the same amount, but in minute quantity, we have the same, the Jiva has the same qualities. Same qualities of the Lord, these godly qualities. It's called the Daiva Sampat. There's Asura Sampat and Daiva Sampat. This is a mentality. Mentality, a program, what we carry with us, what the Jiva is carrying with it from one body to another, due to association. But the Jiva is never... I would say, actually, 100% Asura. Because every Jiva is an eternal part and parcel of the Lord. But the more we come in contact with the modes of nature, especially Rajas and Tamas, and with the demoniac qualities of these gunas or qualities, then the Jiva, because it's very minute, feels himself identified with the material modes, with his Maya, and forgets by Maya's influence his eternal identity as a servant of Krishna. And therefore, forgetfulness is the cause of the material existence, of the bodily conception of life. This is our great illusion. This forgetfulness, what we actually are. That we have a false concept that I am this body, that I am belong to a certain nation, that I am man, I am woman, I am beautiful, I am ugly, like that. And even different conceptions of religions. This is all created by Maya. The eternal religion of the soul, as we know, Prabhupada repeated it so many times, it's Sanatana Dharma. And Dharma cannot be changed. Religion, belief, we can change, but Dharma we cannot change. So the Jiva, who is in contact with the material nature since time immemorial, becomes more and more covered by these material modes and identifies himself with a certain mentality. And that mentality, even at the time of death, it's not gone. We take with us this subtle body to the next body, and then again and again and again. And as long as this is not purified, this subtle body, from the mode of goodness and becomes transcendentalized, the Jiva cannot come out of the material existence. He will turn around in the samsara chakra. Here in this 16th chapter, Krishna explains first that three verses with the good qualities, divine qualities of a personality who is in goodness and who is a sadhu, sainted person. And then the whole chapter he describes in the 16th chapter the demoniac, the asura sampat, the demoniac mentality. But first, to understand the demoniac mentality, he explains first the 26 qualities of a saintly person. And these saintly persons or qualities are not only for the sannyasis or for the brahmacharis, they're throughout the varna and ashrama system. Actually, the varna and ashram system was created by Brahma. Sannyas, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Vanaprastha, Brahmachari, Grihastha, and then these other Varnas. They are created from the beginning by Brahma. So the Sannyas order was created, the Brahmanas were created, the Shudras were created, all these different Varnas and Ashramas, occupations of the embodied living entities, they were created in the beginning already. And also their occupation, Yajna, study of scriptures. Therefore, Brahma, when he started to create the universe as it was before, he had many miscreations. Anyway, first he had the Kumaras, he wanted to send them out. You should become Grihastha, but the Kumaras, they refused the instruction of their father Guru, because they wanted to remain Brahmachari. So Brahma became very angry. So Rudra appeared. Rudra in principle means anger. And what the Rudras wanted to do, they wanted to destroy everything. Everything was Brahma already wanted to create now. So all the plan was there. The Rudras wanted to destroy. But Brahma told them, "Stop, my dear son. You should not become angry now." So Rudras cried out, "Tell me who I am. What should I do now? What is my name?" So Brahma replied, "Because you became very agitated and cried very loud, your name is Rudra." Somebody who is crying. Who is becoming angry. He's in Raudra. He's in this Tama mood. My dear son, you should not destroy universe now. You should now retire. In the end, you can do that. In the end of my day, you can destroy partially the universe, but now you should become a yogi and become Shanti, peaceful, and try to meditate in knowledge. So Shiva, he's actually the founder of the Gyan, the knowledge. He is establishing the Gyan for the yogis and for the Gyanis who study Vedanta. So he's the, and actually thanks to Shiva, actually this knowledge is very much available in this material world. So this is also a plan of the Lord, that the knowledge will become manifested in this world. And Shiva, through his meditation, through his dhira mentality, soberness, he became very deep, and he actually started to think about the well-being of the universe and not of the destruction. Therefore, Shiva, if Rudra is in the Shiva mood in meditation, he is auspicious for the universe. And if he is in Rudra mood, anger mood, then he's inauspicious. He destroys everything. That's ignorance. So Brahma, after he sent Shiva in the forest for meditation, to meditate about the well-being of the universe and to establish the process of yoga through Gyan, he started further to create the universe. There were also some living entities of his creation who wanted to even attack him do so much harm. Brahma even had to run away. Even he himself also became lusty to his own daughter, Vak. One of his qualities that he manifested is Vak, speech. Became a woman. And this beautiful woman, like women, they like to Vak, speech, speaking, flirting, speaking, giggling. So Brahma, he had some attraction to this Vak. This was very subtle, you know, because in Brahma has not a gross body, it's all on subtle platform, like in our mind. So immediately your mind becomes dragged away, you know, and in this sound vibration of the of a woman's singing or speech or laughing, immediately the mind, you cannot control it. Everyone in this material universe, you know, you cannot control that, because this is the Adi Maya. It's the Maya in form of the woman, in form of the nice, beautiful voice, who drags away the mind, even of great ascetics and yogis, and even of Brahma himself. So his sons, Prajapatis, nine of them, they started to, in a friendly way, chastise their father. They actually told him in a humble way, not in an aggressive way, in a fault-finding way, it was not very nice what you made. This is a very bad example for the universe. Later on, others will follow that example. Therefore, you should rectify that. And what Brahma did, he gave up that body, that thought, actually that idea, that thought, you know, of enjoying his daughter, you know. He gave it up. He threw it away, and darkness, the darkness appeared. This darkness in the night appeared from that body, but he gave up. And then after he gave up that body, his body became purified from all anger, illusion, maya, all passion, and he became situated in the mode of goodness. He was in a peaceful mood, and what emanated from that mood? The Vedas. The Vedic hymns, the Vedic mantras from Rig, Sama, Yajur, Atharva, the Puranas, Itihasas, all this, originally this is all Shabda Brahma. This is all transcendental sound vibration. Also the Sanskrit alphabet manifested, the music notes manifested of ragas, the gandharvas, everything was manifested from very beginning, and also the different varnas and the different ashramas. Brahma, who is the original creator, also secondary creator of this universe, he actually thought about the well-being for the universe, and from that thought of doing good for the conditioned souls, who out of compassion that they will suffer and have to go through so many tribulation, from that thought or concern, that concern was like a loving father or mother who keeps the baby in the lap. And there from his lap, from that concern, you know, for caring for his babies, like a mother or father, you know, who appeared? Narada Muni. So Narada Muni appeared from that shelter, you know, from the shelter on the mother's lap. Concern. Mother and father always is concerned about the well-being of the sons and daughters. That no harm, no misery will come upon them. Their harm to the children and the misery they had to go through become the problem, the suffering for the parents. So Brahma was very much concerned to help the conditioned soul. Therefore, from that, Narada appeared. And Narada is the embodiment of bhakti. He has this great gift to give bhakti to whoever he finds is a proper candidate to accept his gift of the love to Krishna or devotional service to Krishna without any attachment to result. This is called Naish Karma. Naish Karma. So Bhakti Yoga is Naish Karma because it gives only that kind of bhakti actually satisfies the soul. That's stated also in the Bhagavatam. This is verse. Ahaitukhiya pratiyata yayatma suprasidati savai pumsham puro dharmo yato bhaktir adokshache. Only that devotional service what is without false motivation and what is uninterruptedly performed, that is called parabhakti, paradharma. Paradharma is parabhakti. It's without interruption, ahaituki, apratiyata. Apratiyata means without interruption, steadily, and ahaituki, without any cause, without any selfish motivation. Only that will satisfy the self. Yayatma suprasidati. The Atma becomes satisfied. So as long as the Atma, who is embodied in this material world, especially in the human form of life, we always have these demoniac and the godly qualities opportunity to choose according to association. Prabhupada one time he told in Satya Yuga the demons had their own planet, and the godly people had their own planet. Therefore, everyone was Paramahamsa or Hamsa, was not interested in enjoyment, only meditation. But then in the Treta Yuga, the godly and the humans, they were living on the same planet. That means the godly and the demoniac mentalities were living on the same planet. Then in the Dwapara Yuga, the godly and the demoniac were living in the same family. And in the Kali Yuga, it lives in everyone's heart. So it's this Daiva Sampat and this Asura Sampat mentality is in everyone in the Kali Yuga. And according to association, one or another becomes prominent. But one always have to be careful with the mind, because the sitting place of sin is mind, the senses. The mind is a central sense. So if we give the mind the chance to associate with lower modes of a demoniac quality, naturally this quality takes over. And if we are taking more attraction but to godly quality take over. If we all now ask ourselves how many good qualities you have and how many bad, maybe we'll find out we have more bad quality. The godly qualities maybe we cannot recognize so much. Because that needs the mode of goodness. Because the mode of goodness is like a mirror. It makes everything clear. Eva Lord Chaitanya said, Cheta Dapanam Achanam Bhava Mahadavakni Devapanam Shaya Kairava Chandrika Vidyava Du Jivanam. And by Sankirtan, Param Vichaya Desi Krishna Sankirtan, the mirror of the heart become cleansed. And when the mirror was very dusty now, very dirty, covered by so many layers of dust from accumulated consciousness, lower consciousness since time immemorial, if this mirror become purified, then we can actually see our real divine nature. And then naturally, as Prahlad Maharaj says in this verse, yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana, naturally by a devotee who is associating with other devotees will develop saintly quality, like demigod or saintly qualities. So, and the more we associate with the sadhu, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi, the godly quality become manifest. But our tendency is because we are so much fault finding, so much uncharitable, intolerant, unmerciful, we always see only bad in others. And in this way we are creating offenses, and we have no opportunity to engage in devotional service, to become recognized by the Lord and by the Lord's devotees. This is a lamentable position. So, therefore, we need knowledge. A sannyasi naturally has this knowledge. He develops this knowledge, he studies Vedanta. Actually, the duty of sannyasi, of the Vedic sannyasi, is to study Vedanta. This is made for sannyasi. Shudras and Vaishyas and even the Kshatriyas, they have no capacity to practically study Vedanta Sutra. You have to be Brahmana for that. You have to be sannyasi, ultimately, to become completely renounced in Vairagya, in Gyan. Gyan and Vairagya, they go together. So therefore the sannyasi, Vedic sannyasi, is studying scriptures to attain Vairagya, detachment from this Banyan tree described in the 15th chapter, to cut its branches from lower, middle and higher, to come ultimately become liberated and attain Brahman, the spiritual platform, and if he is very fortunate, Vaikuntas, Koloka, the spiritual world of the Lord. So the sannyasi means he who goes out of the material existence. He's a renunciate. So, therefore, the only occupation of a sannyasi is practically either to live for himself, don't work for anyone or do any materialistic activities in the society, has no obligations. He stepped out of all of this, he's retired. Is completely detached and live in a solitary place. Therefore, there are different kinds of sannyasis. There's those who are collecting only grains on the field, Kutichat and Bahudak, and then the Parirajakacharya, and then the Hamsa or Paramahamsa. They're the four already, they're also given by Brahma from beginning of creation. He even thought about the different orders of sannyas. And there is sannyas who is only caring for himself, for his own maintenance and minimum maintenance, so that he can meditate peacefully, not without disturbance of family and responsibility. And there is another sannyasi who is a Parirajakacharya. He is traveling, he's not staying in one place. Maximum three days, Prabhupada says, a sannyasi should stay in one place. He should not have his own house, he should not have his own possessions. Actually, sannyas means no possession at all. It's only meditation and interest is in Krishna, and in doing well, and giving this, spreading this information of Krishna to others. Therefore he goes house to house. So the perfect sannyasi Shukadev Goswami from the Bhagavatam. It is described, he went house to house, and he visited different grihasthas. He didn't went to them, as Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, for begging. for doing Madhukari, or for his failing belly and so for his own satisfaction. His first interest to give the message, to give them information to the Grihasthas. And the, like Narada. Narada, in previous life, he became son of Shudrani. He was cursed and became son of Shudrani. And he had the opportunity to associate with Bhakti Vedantas, with renunciates, Vedantists. And by his associating with them, and by his humble service attitude, although he was only a small child, he was not educated in that time, he got very greatly blessed by the Bhakti Vedantas, by the sannyasis, Vedantist, so that later on himself he became a great devotee, and even the greatest of the devotee, Narad Muni. So that was by blessing. The Bhakti Vedantas, the Vedantist, they blessed him with his, because they were satisfied with his service attitude. And then, so it is described that that this example of Narad Muni, Shukadev Goswami, he was the ideal sannyasi. He didn't spend longer in a householder's home as he was needed to drink milk, to milk a cow. Some now think, oh, he was only eager to get a glass of milk. But no, he just used the opportunity to speak something about devotional service, about spiritual life, to that Grihastha. But he didn't want to spend too much time, and because it's always dangerous that one become then attracted to stay a longer time in one place, and then one's renunciation and detachment maybe will decrease, and the attachment will increase again. And they also know sometimes the Grihasthas, they have not much time to hear much, especially about spiritual topics, so they only keep themselves short and give them some information. So that's their mercy. So that's actually the sannyasi's duty, to only preach and to spread Krishna consciousness. Therefore study the scriptures. They're always absorbed in studying the scriptures. The Mayavadis and the Vaishnavas, sannyasis, they study the scriptures. The Mayavadis, they're inclined to study Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, And the Vaishnavas, they like sannyasis, they like to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is known as the Paramahamsa Samhita. It is very much appreciated by those who don't show more interest in material life. That's Paramahamsa. So Paramahamsa is not only a sannyas title. Everyone can become a Paramahamsa if he becomes gradually detached through the bhakti process from this material lifestyle of I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, this Ishvara, Ahambhogi complex, this mentality. Because this is demoniac mentality that keeps us in this material world. So the devotee naturally can give it up and develop a quality of love and devotion to the Lord. And from that love and devotion to the Lord, he also develops a love and then a compassion to the living entities. And therefore, that force drives him to speak about Krishna to others. But as Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, this is highly elevated sannyas. Not every sannyas is able to do that, because many maybe become attached to the household lifestyle and then will not be sannyas anymore. They will give it up. So only those who are very fixed on in their sannyas ashram of Paramahamsa or Parirajakacharya, they're inclined to go without coming to fall, because they're always fixed in the devotional service, in the taste to service to the Lord of the heart, to Krishna. And they do it as a service. Therefore, they always have a great taste in that kind of activities without becoming allured by the external senses. I know it's two topics I have to. One is sannyas, other one is grihastha topic. Dana, that means giving in charity. It's a little two different topics and takes a long time. Dana, to giving in charity, is explained is especially grihastha's duty, because grihastha have a tendency to accumulate. Every year more and more things become accumulated in the householder's house in so many different ways. But the grihastha should not be attached that he is not attached to all these possessions, he should give in charity. So that's also a Vedic process of purification and becoming free ultimately from the attachment to this material life. That the grihastha is also recommended that he should give charity, that he should give some of the money or food, what he eats, or clothes, or whatever he has, for the benefit of others. And Srila Prabhupada says the best dana is to give charity to Krishna, or to for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness. Then the next one is in the mode of goodness, to give it to the qualified person, to the needy person, without expecting any award or any result. Because sometimes one gives dana for benefit, for good punya karma, that I will work off my papa karma to minimize it. Therefore, there's even a guru here in the Hindu society who tells you, now you have to do more punya, now you can do a little papa, then so that you can do more punya again. And so they gamble in this way. But in this way, will not become purified, will not become detached. You become more and more anchored and bound up in the material lifestyle. So it's not recommended to give in charity for a selfish purpose, or to purify your karma so that you can do more karma. So this is in the mode of passion. He's attached. And the mode of ignorance, he gives in the improper time to the improper person, with a false motivation also anyway, with even some ugly motivation. And he becomes very proud by it. Like the passionate also, they become proud, self-confident. They don't become purified. They become more entangled in the gunas. So at least one should learn how to give dana or charity in the mode of goodness, without expectation, to a worthy person and the right proper time, place, circumstances, without making a show. And the best dana is to give dana to the Vaishnavas and to Krishna, to the devotees. That's the transcendental charity. So as Vaishnavas, we learn how to give charity also. Your grihastha, and you give in charity, give donations to the temple or for the Sankirtan mission, or one distributes prasadam or invites guests like that, and giving food or clothes to somebody. No. So that also the Vaishnavas may do. And so in this way they, and the best charity is to give the holy name, to give books to the people so that they can get benefited. So, yeah, we can't speak much, but at one point we have to stop also. Maybe some questions open, comments? Yeah.
So what's the sequence of events for Narada Muni if he came from Vermont, and then later we read from Bhagavatam that he was the son of a Sudrani?
Sequence is actually Narada, his eternal associate of the Lord in the spiritual world. But he has different leelas in this material world, like Prahlada also. And sometimes it seems to be that they're very much entangled in something. Because one time Narada was Gandharva, that was before he became son of Brahma. He was a Gandharva. And Gandharvas, they're very nice singers, you know, musicians. And they're always surrounded with groupies, you know, of nice girls, you know, who are dancing and singing with them. Like the modern pop stars, you know. They're all like Gandharvas. A little in tamas and in passion also. Not in goodness so much. So these Gandharvas, they're quite in passion. They also have inclination to goodness. But sometimes they become influenced too much of passion. And the demigods, sometimes they also have Harinam in the Svargaloka. So they if a Sankirtan party is passing by, it is a duty of everyone to follow the Sankirtan party. Never sit. Never remain sitting if Sankirtan is going on. We should not sit. You should join the Sankirtan party. Otherwise it's considered an offense. But this Gandharva, he was not joining the Sankirtan. He was not chanting the holy name. On contrary, he started to sing with his girls together about cinema songs, you know, and Laufschläger. And the demigods became very angry, upset about him, and they cursed him, you know, that he cannot remain here in Svarga as a Gandharva. You fall down to earth and become son of Shudrani. And that's how Gandharva came to the Svarga, to earth planet, son of Shudrani. Then he had the opportunity to associate with Bhaktivedantas, with the sannyasis. And by their mercy, he became, he got a taste in devotional service, in hearing about Vedanta and knowledge about the Lord and about one's real identity and relationship, so that he learned. Then after his mother died and the Bhaktivedantas earlier left, then he left the home and he went to a forest where he started to sit and meditate according to guidance of the Bhaktivedantas. And there he got the darshan of the Lord. First he saw him in the heart, then he saw him really in front of him for a short time as a reality. But then he, only for a short time, but then the Lord disappeared. And the Lord told him, you will not see this form anymore in this life, but you can stay in contact with me by chanting the holy name, or by Krishna Katha, by the transcendental sound. And in this way, by following that instruction and having the darshan of the Lord, this boy, later on, he gave up his body in meditation, and then he became the son of Brahma. And then since that time, he's always Narada Muni, always engaged in devotional service in this universe as long as the day of Brahma is going on. Hare Krishna. It's very difficult to hear, you know, because it's a span.
In Kali Yuga, the demon is in our heart.
Yeah.
Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, it says that Krishna is sitting in the heart, like soul. So now you say demon is sitting also in the heart. So can you explain that?
No, not in the heart of the soul, in the heart of the that means in our mind. Actually, the mind is in the heart. It's not here. Mind is in the heart. Here is only the brain. But it's like the soul and the subtle body. The intelligence and the mind, the subtle body is in the heart with the soul together. But the soul is like the sun, you know, who penetrates the whole universe. It means a consciousness, or you can perceive the consciousness and also the mind and the ego throughout the whole body, from the bottom to the bottom. But the sitting place is the heart. It's not here. Here only is brain. And the proof is Daksha. Daksha head was cut, you know, and they put another head ultimately on him, but the Daksha consciousness remained. That means his soul and his mind and his intelligence was not in the head, it was in the heart. And even with the new head, you know, he still was Daksha. But he was ashamed, you know, because he had a gold head. No? No? You know what is a goat? No? So they put a gold head, you know, from the sacrifice, you know, but they sacrificed, you know. They took the head, you know, and put it on him, on Daksha. But then Daksha didn't like it. Because he understood, I'm Daksha, but the gold head is not so nice. That's too much identification with his body still, you know. So he gave up that body. And then in next life he became again Daksha, the son of the Prachetas. So there were two times Daksha appeared. One in the Svayambhuva age and the other one in Chakshusha. Manvantar. So the mentality it's because the mind, you know, the mind is like water. Water, you know, water can transport any kind of a quality. Positive or negative energy the water can transport, but the water itself is not actually accepting this, doesn't become this quality, it still remains water, it only has to become filtered, become purified, no? And so in the same way, you know, the mind absorbs all these qualities of Sangha, either Asura Sampat or Daiva Sampat. And according to the association of the mind, it accepts that quality. That means either Asura or Sura. And it's there in the mind, you know. It's already there. Because we are already in contact in this material world since time immemorial. So this tamaguna and rajaguna is there. And because it's predominant and brings us already to this new body, but also brings us to the next body again, as long as we are cultivating tamas and rajas, and even sattva, for Bhagavatam ultimately says Sadara Chastamobhava Kamalopadayaschaye Chitaritaranavidyam Stitvam Sattvi Prasidati Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagavat Bhakti Yogata Bhagavat Tattva Vigyana Mukta Sangha Sachayate. So we have to become free by Bhagavat Nastapeshu Abhatrishu, by this process become free from the lower modes of nature, of tamā, rajas, lust and greed, and become situated in sattva. But even sattva we have to transcend. Evam prasana manaso bhagava bhakti yogataha bhagava tattva vijñāna mukta sangha sajayate. You have to come, then you will come on vijñāna, realization. Realization of the jñāna. Because as long jñāna is only cultivated in the brain, Then we become more proud. But that's not the goal of a sannyasi. Because a sannyasi, he cultivates knowledge so that he will become humble. A humble servant of the Supreme Lord, who is Vibhu, I'm Anu. So by Vedanta, by Gyan, he understands, I'm very tiny spirit soul, eternal servant of the Lord. And the Lord is Almighty, He is Vibhu, He is unlimitedly great. So and I only can become happy if I connect with Him, with Anandamaya Purusha. This is Vedanta. So the jnani, he realizes I cannot find Ananda in myself without being connected with Anandamaya Purusha. And that's Vishnu. It's not me. That the jnani understands, realizes, and therefore the jnani sannyasi, instead of becoming proud, he becomes very humble and ultimately becomes Vaishnava. Otherwise, jnana yogi sannyasi, the maximum that he can attain is salvation in Brahman, or become a light particle around Mahavishnu. It's a Vedic process described in the second canto of Bhagavatam. Shukadev describes this path, you know, the two Vedic paths. One direct, one indirect. But then he says, this is not our path. It's not the path that I recommend. I recommend Bhakti Kanda. Means hearing about Krishna and engaging in hearing, chanting, remembering about Krishna. This is bhakti. This is Shukadev's path. He's not propounding the Vedic path of jnani sannyasi and or jnana yogi. Step by step, krama, mukta, and step by step. He goes to the different spheres of the universe. Like somebody who wants to renounce household life. Before you renounce household life, or your in general your material lifestyle, you think, so now I use all my money and go first on a world tour. And spend everything, and if I have seen everything, then I renounce. This is the mukta, the krama mukta. It's always dangerous that somewhere you will entangle yourself, you know, and then it's finished your liberation, your sannyas. That's the risk of the krama mukta. And the one who is directly going to the Shishumara chakra and ultimately attains Brahmaloka, and there he stays for until the end of Brahma's life, and then he will go to the spiritual world. But the devotee is not going these two paths, Shukadev says. Engaging in hearing, chanting, direct process, not the Vedic process of Gyan. Yoga is Gyan. It's established by Shiva. Therefore, Vyasadeva was not happy, you know, about when he compiled Vedanta Sutras, Brahma Sutras. He was not happy. He felt still empty inside because he didn't give the bhakti direct. Therefore, Narada came and hinted to him, you know, you are not happy, Prabhu, because you didn't explain the devotional service, bhakti to Krishna. Although in other Puranas it is described that this is always mixed with some kind of demigods and with some benefits that you will gain if you do this and that in bhakti. So it's mixed. But the pure bhakti becomes very clear ultimately in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Akhila, you have a comment or a question? Yes. Or
I was appreciating the focus on Bhagavatam, some born. I was actually just thinking of, Padma Purana.
About?
Padma Purana.
Padma Purana. I don't know all the Purana, only Bhagavad Purana. I try to understand a little, step by step.
I agree. I understand what you're saying, but how would you relate it? Complementing it, or...
Huh?
What kind of category, or how would you complement it, or rate it next to as a complement?
Anyway, there are six Puranas in goodness. Six Puranas for people in passion, six Puranas for people in tamas. Padma Purana is in mode of goodness. Vishnu Purana, Padma Purana, Naradiya Purana, like these Puranas. Skanda Purana is tamas. Brahmavivarta Purana is one of rajas. Brahmavivarta. Rajas. Kacha Purana. And the Bhagavad Purana is actually transcendental. It's Paramahamsa Samhita. It's above the gunas. Because these other 17 Puranas, they were already compiled by Vyasadeva. He was still not happy. Still not happy. Only after he compiled Bhagavatam fully, after he heard Shukadev Goswami, and also because he is omniscient sage, he knew what Sutta Goswami spoke to the sages of Naimisharanya. Then after that he compiled the Bhagavatam with 18,000 verses.
Just realizing that, actually, practically speaking, it's only because of hearing Bhagavatam as given by Sri Prabhupada with his purpose that we can see these other things in relation.
Yeah, and anyway, whatever other Puranas are helpful to understand Bhagavatam, no, Prabhupada included in his purports. So you have everything there. Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Lord Chaitanya, although it's Rajas Purana, he says five things are forbidden in Kali Yuga. Gyani Sannyasi, it means not Vaishnava Sannyasi, Gyani Sannyasi. Cow sacrifice and Go and Ashwamedha Yajna. Ashwamedha Gavalambyam. Ashwamedha Gavalambyam. Sanyasam Karma. Palapaitrikam. Offering meat to the forefathers as a pinda, as a sacrifice. And Devarena Sutodpatim. To have, to beget a child in the wife of your brother. These five things are forbidden in Kali Yuga. And that's from Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Many things we get from Padma Purana is like the 10 offenses against the holy name, like that. The glories of Srimad Bhagavatam is also coming from there, you know. This story about Bhagavat Mahatmya is also from Padma Purana, explaining the glories and the result of hearing Bhagavatam. There are two results. The first attention of the public was not very focused on hearing. There are actually a lot of unattention. But there was one, he was a ghost. But he took shelter in a bamboo stick who had 7 knots. Means 7 days. Bhagavatam was recited in 7 days. So every day, because he's a ghost, you know, he has to have a shelter in a tree or in a bamboo stick. Otherwise, he cannot be steady. And that example is given. If you hear Bhagavatam, you should be steady, fixed, not wavering around like a ghost or like the wind in the Bhagavatam class and speculating about whole universe or family problem or life. No? Fixed on the subject of Bhagavat. And this ghost, he was suffering, you know, and became a ghost. So he took shelter in that stick, and every day after Bhagavatam was recited, one knot was exploding, pum, 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 and after 7 days, the ghost, you know, became liberated. Means a Vaikuntha airplane appeared and to pick him up, and all the audience of the Bhagavatam were amazed, you know. And what happened with us? We are still here. They didn't pick up us. And then the Bhagavatam reciter, he told, you know, because you were not attentive enough like him. And then they wanted to have a second chance. Okay, let us again start Bhagavatam. So this time with full attention.
Same thing applies to chanting.
Chanting, same, yeah. Yeah, because if you... chanting with monitoring and spacing out, you know, like a ghost, then you don't have this result. Same result as when you chant attentively. Therefore, Prabhupada gave very much attention to attentive chanting. You can chant 64 rounds, you know, one leg, you know, like a ghost. You maybe think I'm chanting 64 rounds, but I say better you chant focus 16 rounds. Yeah, but if you chant offensively, you know, how the holy name can save you?
So it's my freedom of choice kind of comes you, into
a... association. You have to associate with good chanters. So if you associate with chanters who have a ruchi, nama ruchi, then you can develop this quality. Otherwise not. You can't have sadhana for thousands of lifetimes. No chance. No chance. So you need this association of Namaruchi, of somebody who has a taste in the holy name chanting. Otherwise the change in heart will not take place. You maybe cry during chanting. Bhagavatam says, second canto, Sukadeva Goswami says, you may cry during chanting. But if your heart still remains still framed, that means your crying is only a show. It will not save you. The main symptom of chanting the holy name is melting of the heart. It's not crying. Crying is external. The real thing is melting of heart. Otherwise, it's still framed. And sometimes somebody is still framed, but is still he cries. That means his crying is only a show. It's prakriti.
Going backwards, degrading it. You know how sometimes we practice, but we tend to fall down actually slowly, and then sometimes we practice and we actually move. So what is the main symptom to see that we're actually moving ahead or rather going back?
There's two symptoms. Neglecting, negligence, that means you don't endeavor anymore. Yeah, you don't endeavor. You see that you are actually not on the track, but you make no endeavor.
Ah, okay, I understand, yes.
You don't make endeavor to improve, you know. No. This is the first symptom, and the other one is complacency. Complacent. That means you are satisfied in yourself, but not as Atmarama, but satisfied with somehow other, with what you attained or what you have. And. That's actually the worst. You should never become complacent or satisfied. Devotee, a sadhaka, should every day, every moment, we have to endeavor to improve. And never become negligent or lazy. As soon as we become lazy or neglecting, then the root, it's like a gardener, you know. If you neglect the plant, you know, these weeds, you think, okay, I leave them a little longer, you know, no problem. They also look pretty.
What about the second half? About how you're actually moving forward, you know, we can see.
Forward? Yes. That means you make. The main symptom of forward is enthusiasm, steady endeavor, taste, or how we say, try to associate with devotees who have taste, you know, in this process.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's the main drive. Utsaha, Nishaya, Darya, Tata, Karma, Pravartana. That's the process that Rupa Goswami gives in Upadeshamrita. And to go backwards is also described in the Nectar of Instruction. Everyone left already, so we are over time. Time to stop.
You
wanted to ask something about Padma Purana. Petra, don't remind you. I tried one time, you know, to read sometimes about this, because Skanda Purana gives nice description about Purushottama Mahatmya, you know, about Jagannath, appearance of Jagannath. And then I tried to read some stories before that, you know, but this was so confusing, I had to give it up. Skanda Purana.
Actually, I remember,
many stories about Shiva, about different personalities.
Like, clears up some areas, gives a little bit more clarification of certain areas that help fluff out the picture.
And therefore we have six Sandharvas. Jiva Goswami made this the study of the darshan, sat darshan, six studies or I would say doctrines of.
That was
Prabhupada's point. It's for us no need to read all the scriptures, Vedic scriptures, because six Goswamis they made it for us already. Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and even Prabhupada himself. We don't have to go through the other scriptures.
Hari Bhakti Vilas contains basically all Puranas.
You tried one time, Hari Bhakti Vilas? It's so tough.
Yeah.
That's how we get.
And you think, you know, what concerns is me now with all this information? You know, you become more and more confused.
Yes.
Therefore we need Acharya. You need Acharya who tells you which scriptures you have to read and absorb. And they know also from which other scriptures, you know, the essence. They understand what is essence, Siddhanta. What is the essence Hari Bhakti Vilas. What is the essence of the Puranas? You know, they give you all this essence, you know. Because the Hari Bhakti Vilas is not only for Vaishnavas guidelines. It's made for the caste Brahmanas. To pacify them, to show them, you know, the Vaishnavas, they also have knowledge about so many rituals. But they are not all meant for the Vaishnavas. You know.
And it was confusing. Devotees who started reading Hari Bhakti Vilas, it was very strange. I started talking to them, and it's like, it's really confusing.
Yeah, it's confusing. Yeah.
Yes, thank you for clarifying.
So, Ever Prabhupada told us we should stick to these four books. That's what I do. I read Bhagavatam, I read Bhagavad Gita. I don't read so much nowadays. Because every Monday I give class and I prepare something. But I'm not so much. I read more Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Even Nectar of Devotion, I don't read so much now. Mostly, and then I always start again and again. From begin. No? Sisi and Bhagavatam. Because I can see, you're getting older, we cannot read too many books. No? And then other books that I have, I keep only for reverence. Reverence, you know, for the, when Prabhupada quotes, you know, to get the picture of it, understanding.